Thank you, David. There was almost as many from the temple lot down at Warrensburg as there is here at the temple lot this evening. It was attended quite well. I prepared two sermons today, and I'm still up here looking out at you, trying to decide which one I want to preach to you. Show of hands, which one, the first sermon? Second sermon. Okay, got it? That's what we're going to do. Do you want to amend that, or? But it is a pleasure. I'm going to use for an opening scripture, one that I reference a lot, but I don't necessarily preach it. But I am this evening, and that's the 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. It happens to be one of my absolute favorite scriptures. Probably because it speaks to me. And so without further ado, I'm going to start reading the intro to it, because Peter gives us an introduction and of what he is going or trying to accomplish here, or he wants to happen. And he opens by saying, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So he's trying to get this people to, I'm not going to say get excited, but I'm going to say get excited. He's trying to get them enthused, and he's going to bring by remembrance some things that they know, some things that they've heard. Verse 2. That ye might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of this Lord and Savior. So he's going to rehearse to them, first of all, things of prophecy and things that they know, that they've heard, but he's going to bring them to their remembrance. He's also going to give to them a commandment. Doesn't say commandments, it's a commandment. So as we read through, you can look for this, and you don't have to look for it. I'm going to tell you when we're reading the prophecies, and I'm going to tell you what the commandment is. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of." And I like that phrase. It's not because the prophecies weren't well known or the gospel wasn't well known. In other words, they had heard it. They had heard it. But they chose not to take it in or even listen to what was being said in prophecy. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Okay, we know that happened. So the world flooded and was mankind was done away except for a few. But the heavens and the earth, which now are, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There's another. You chose the wrong one. We just had a brother and a sister walk in that listened to this sermon this morning. So you should have picked one. You should have picked one. I apologize. I've already started. So we know that in the last day, as prophesied in the scriptures, that fire is going to come about and the earth is going to be destroyed. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, I love this, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's his will. And the means is put out there for us to obtain it. And it's his will. But, the 10th verse, but, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Even though he would like everyone to be saved, that judgment is going to come. The Lord is going to come. Judgment is going to be placed upon this earth, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall be with fervent heat. Sounds grim to some, but you and I, nevertheless, you and I, we, according to the promise, look for new heavens and new earth prophesied, and the elements shall melt, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We know this is going to happen because the prophets of old have told us this. The scriptures, the word of God tells us this. Now, the commandment. Now is the commandment. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, that you know they're going to happen, and you know that there's going to be a new heaven and earth, you know that the Lord's going to come, be diligent. That's the commandment. There's three phases to this diligence, but the commandment is to be diligent. What are we to be diligent in? That ye be found of him at the last day in peace, without spot, and blameless. There are three separate things, but they're not separate. It's kind of like, I don't want to compare it. But they are one, but elements are different. So what is it? What is it? First, the commandment. First part of this commandment, peace. What's that mean to you? I don't care. Anybody, just raise your hand or don't raise your hand. What's it mean to you? Do you have peace now? Is there peace here in the United States? No. You know, I'm going to, in three days, I'm going to be 75 years old. Don't shake your head and say, oh, poor guy. But I'm going to be 75 years old. And I cannot, especially in the politics, I can never, ever remember anything quite like that. And I'm not going to go into politics. But I don't know when it started. I think about 1990, 1992, somewhere around there. But there's demonizing now in the United States on either side. There's actually not differences of opinion, but it's leading to anger and hate, like, whoa, you know? And elements have ended up from time to time within us. It's true. We may not want to admit it, but In order for that to happen, there has to be judgment on our side. There has to be a judgment being made. I've read it. And we have to be watchful of ourselves, watchful, because he wants us to be in peace. He doesn't want to see those things or know of those things within us. You know, in 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, 29th verse, it says we're to love God with all our hearts and we're to love all men. Doesn't say all men if they agree with the way I think or think like I do or anything else. That is a commandment. I want to read you a scripture, and I'm going to tell you a story to happen. I'm going to tell you a couple stories. I'm sorry. Same story you heard this morning. But a while back, a long time ago, we had a problem in East Local. I'll tell you how long ago it was. Larry was our pastor, and he brought an American flag and set it on the stage. No, I'm going to tell it, Melissa. She's shaking her head. No, Steve, don't do that. He set it on the stage, and there was a brother that was offended. Maybe more than one. He was offended, and it was not an ordinary American flag. It had braids around it. Okay, yellow braids. And it's an American flag to me, it's an American flag to Larry, whatever. But somehow, I think it was the same American flag that they used at the UN, and this brother took offense, and then it was a rah, 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 you know, how things can get. And so we had a meeting about it, what to do, what to do, what to do. And it wasn't resolved. And there was like choosing sides, and which I couldn't believe. And I went home and I read the 14th chapter of Romans. And that's what I'm going to turn to. But I read the 14th chapter of Romans and it's like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Because it speaks to this very problem. And so I called my brother Larry and I said, Larry, I need to come over. You need to come over to my house. And he said, okay. I said, I want to read something to you. And we went over and we talked and we read the 14th chapter of Romans. And my brother Larry went from there to the East Local and he cut off the braids off the American flag. Because he took to heart the 14th chapter of Romans. It wasn't me. The Lord just prompted, doesn't it? The fact is, it seldom happens to me, to my shame. But the Lord resolved this problem the right way and in accordance to his scriptures. So I'm going to read this 14th chapter, and I read it several times during the year to myself. Because I do, and I fall in this kind of category. I fall in with this problem. And it says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that thou judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. We think different. We think different. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God the thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and give God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both to the living and the dead. But why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now I'm going to stop there before I read on, and I'm going to tell you another thing that I did. And it was one of the worst things I've ever done in my life. I put my name on a petition in the church. Yes, I did. And I wish I'd read and known this scripture before I did. It was a long time ago. It was a long time ago when we were having major problems in the church with the sacrament. And I was taking a stand. I was dreadfully, dreadfully wrong. And many of my brothers that were there were wrong. It's not what the scriptures tell me. It's not what I should have done. I'm going to read on. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Everyone. Whether it's in this church, or out of this church, or wherever, everyone is responsible for themselves. And I am not going to judge anymore. Let us not therefore judge one another, here you go, anymore, but judge this rather. Man, I wish I'd thought of this before I put my name. I wish I'd thought of this next statement. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Think about that. The next time you are, well, just think about it before you act or before you say or before you put something on the internet. Think about it. Is it going to be a stumbling block to anyone? I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Goodness, it's so simple. Really, it's so simple. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy him not with thy meat, for whom Christ died. He died for that person. Why would I put a stumbling block? Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ, he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for, what am I talking about? Peace. and things wherein one might edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God, but all things indeed are pure. But it is evil for that man who eat with offense. If he thinks it's wrong for him. Even if it's right for you. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink, nor, listen to this, anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. We're to lift each other up. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's a part of that commandment. Another part of the commandment, without spot. What's that mean to you? When the Lord comes, you're going to be in peace. You're not going to have offended anybody. You're not going to have that anger or hate in your minds. You're going to be without spot. What's that mean? Not a thing to anybody. Okay. I mean, there's more to it than having your sins washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a lot more to it than that. And how is it done? How is it done without spot? You're going to be without spot if you do the will of God. Peter's talking to the church. Okay, these people have already been baptized. They've already had their sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's saying to them, without spot. So there's more to it. It's doing the will of God. That's how you become and remain spotless in this world. And how do you do it? How do you do it? How do you know the will of God? For you. I'm not talking, the will of God for the church. I'm talking about you. Individually, as a person, how in the world am I going to know? He's already given me how to know. If you turn over in Peter, same chapter, first chapter, verses 3 and 4. It tells you, I'm going to turn to it. I mean, it's just plain. Says, according to his divine power, hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. What have you received? What did you receive when you had hands laid upon your head? You received the Holy Ghost. You have access through that Holy Ghost to obtain the divine nature. Through that Holy Ghost and God's Spirit, you can, not can, you will know God's will for you as an individual. You will know it if you submit to it. If you submit to it. There's always that if. There's always that if. I'm going to turn to Matthew. It's the 19th chapter, starting with the You know this story. Starting 16, and behold, one came and stood unto him, or and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? And he said, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He's given the things that are written down, right? And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, yet what lack I? And Jesus looked within him, just like that Holy Ghost looks, is in you and knows you. And what did he say? He said, If thou will be perfect, if you will be, have, you want to have that divine nature, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He knew. Jesus knew what his problem was. He also, through the word of Jesus Christ, knew the will of this young man for him to do exactly that. Follow me. You have Jesus Christ residing within you in the form of the Holy Ghost. Going to do the same thing for you. I'm going to skip down. Because Jesus told him then, you know, it's hard for a rich man. He's going back to explain to his disciples, and they don't understand. I'm sorry. They don't get it. They are not getting it. Well, you know, it's really hard for a rich man to give up his riches. And easier for a camel to pass through the eye of the needle. And then this is what the disciples heard. They were exceedingly amazed, and they said, Who then can be saved? Goodness gracious, this is so hard. How are we going to be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You have God. You have him. You have that Spirit, that Holy Ghost residing in you. Yes, it is possible. It's more than possible. You will achieve it. You will be there. You will have the nature of, if you don't reject it, if you listen. That's my problem. I don't listen. I don't even listen to my wife, you know? It's just, well, sometimes. But that's how we have. I'd like to, actually, I'm going to continue in Matthew, the 7th chapter. And as I spoke this morning, I said, man, this is one that I really didn't understand for a long time, this scripture, 7th chapter. I'm going to read, just shorten it. Starting with the 21st verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth what? The will of my Father which is in heaven. Now that's underlined in my Bible. It didn't used to be underlined in my Bible, because that's the key. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, that ye that work iniquity. And you know what I didn't understand? I read that and I said, man, those things, that doesn't sound like iniquity to me. They're casting out devils. That doesn't sound like iniquity. Well, they're doing these things and it's not the will of God. They're not listening to God. And I don't know how you define it, but these are works that are going to be burned up. Because they're not righteous works, Because it wasn't the will of God. The only righteous works that we're going to be judged, commended for, are those works that are given to us to do through God, the will of God. Melissa tells me this. Well, it reminds me of it. I'm sorry, dear. You know, she's not sitting there. She's over there, so I can pick on her. She tells me from time to time, well, when we're talking about, I think I've done pretty good, you know. And, you know, his righteousness is not ours. And he'll say, you know, our righteousness is as what? Dirty rags. That's the way the Lord looked at what was these men did, as dirty rags. Filthy rags, I'm sorry. Brings us to the last one. Last part of this commandment. Blameless. Does it sound like without spot? They're all similar, you know? It's not the same. Blameless, the first two, well, the second one I talked about was without spot. It deals with us and God. This last one, to be blameless, deals with us and others. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about others. And what we, not how we treat others, but what we do for others. What you're doing for others. And I'm not talking about in the church. I'm talking about others. We're to love all men with all our heart. We're to love all men. Our responsibility is that. What is the last thing, the last part of King Benjamin's message? What did he tell him about service? I've done all these things for you. I do it for you. I'm doing it for God. He's sending them a message. He's sending them what is important. Christ did the same thing before he left. Before he left here. I'm going to turn to John, the 13th chapter. Christ has already entered into Jerusalem. Okay? They gathered there for the Passover, for the Last Supper. He's already done this. And he is thinking about what he is going to have to go through. What he's have to go through for me and you. This is on his mind. And he is giving his disciples. A lesson. Probably the last lesson that they receive before he is taken away. Probably the most important lesson that he's taught them. I'm going to start with the fourth verse, 13th chapter. And he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself, and after he poureth water into the basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then he cometh to Simon Peter, good old Peter. Same Peter I read about earlier. The same Peter that is telling us to do these three things. Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Whoa. Okay. If my dad came up to me and he sat me down and he made that statement, I'd say, whoa, I better listen. Okay? Same way with you. And this is what he's telling his disciples. Listen to this. You've listened to all kinds of things. Listen to this. Peter saith to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Think about that. Could that mean that if I don't wash my brother's feet, not literally, that I'll have no part with Jesus Christ? Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. He's talking about Judas. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, not ye are not all clean. You know, just a side note. I never really thought about that Judas was there when all this was taking place. You know, he heard him. You're all clean, but not everyone. He was there. Sorry, I just threw that out. So after he had washed their feet, washed them all, he had taken his garments and was set down again, and he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Lord, Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you, just like King Benjamin. The same thing given his disciples, given us an example. Verily I say unto you that the Lord is not greater than, or that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now listen to this 17th verse. I love this 17th verse. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. It's the way to really spiritual happiness. It is also the way to peace. It is also the way to be without spot. But most especially, it is the way to be blameless before God. We read in Alma 4:6 that we're to meet together to pray for the souls that know not God. You know, what does he say? Is that enough? In the scriptures, he say, well, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to be okay. No. Action. There's more to it than just praying for those souls that are out there. Praying for the ones we come in contact with in order to be blameless before the Lord. I'm going to close with Matthew, the 25th chapter. I'm going to read where to stop. I'm going to start with the 31st verse, and I don't know where I'm going to stop. Talking about the last day, as we read in Peter, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from one another, as shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, blameless. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger. He's not talking about people in the church, is he? I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee was a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and said, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, the goats, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? We would have done it, Lord. We would have done it if we knew it was you. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Soberly. We need to look at those three. Soberly, we need to look at ourselves. It's a commandment. He tells us very plain in this 25th chapter of Matthew. There's no getting around it. His Spirit will tell you this. Do not resist it. Do not resist the prompting of His Spirit. Thank you.